The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The pre-party for our Falcons.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a Falcons football Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fricke and Joe Patrick with you. Wade Ford Tailgate Show taking you for another hour to the top of the hour. Network pregame with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson. 1 o'clock kick in Minnesota today. Vikings and Falcons. Wes and Dave on the call. And, of course, a reminder of the Falcons flyover after the game where you can react instantly with Rob Tribble, who has had, by the way, from a broadcasting standpoint, Joe, Rob Tribble has had the hardest job in all of Atlanta.
Yeah. No, well, nobody better on the case than Rob.
The injury report is brought to you by Fireshire from the W Sauce. Bigger, better, bolder, now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com to find a Fireshire retailer near you. And Joe, Falcons continue to be a little bit dinged up, and especially in key places like that offensive line. I'm not saying they're not going to go, but I'm not sure that the bye week got them as 100% healthy as I wanted them to be.
Yeah, in fact, every single one of the starting offensive linemen except for Drew Dahlman, who had been out prior to returning last week, was rested this week in practice. A couple of guys, Caleb McGarry, Jake Matthews, were limited. They didn't practice early in the week and then were only limited on Friday. But none of them have a designation. They should all be ready to play. But clearly, I think a unit that is feeling some of the wear and tear of the season so far. But overall, not a terrible injury report for the Falcons or for the Vikings, really. While the Falcons were really hampered by injuries as much, 3 weeks ago or so, especially that game against the Broncos where they had a bunch of guys out. Only a few this week. Mike Hughes is questionable, first of all, and this is good news. He's a full participant in practice all week, still coming back from a neck injury. He is questionable. I would expect him to be ready to go, I would think, considering he's been a full participant in practice. But this team has been slow and cautious with bringing players back. And if he's not to play, it wouldn't be the first time that a guy's been a full participant in practice all week and still held out. So we'll see what happens there. Jace McClellan, the reserve running back, is going to be out of this one again, as well as Ruka Roro. He got back to practice this week, was limited Wednesday and Thursday, full participant Friday, but he's going to be out. They're going to hold him back again. And Casey Washington, a late add to the injury report, he's going to be out. Again, just a reserve player. Chris Blair was the practice squad player who was elevated to replace him on special teams, most likely. And then for the Vikings, Stephon Gilmore is going to be out. Their Pro Bowl, All-Pro corner. He's going to be out with a hamstring injury. But that's about it for them. They've got some other questionable guys. Andrew Van Ginkel, the outside linebacker, but he's been limited all week in practice. I would think he's going to be good to go. Dalton Risner, another one with a back injury. Their right guard was limited on Thursday, full on Friday, but he has a questionable designation. And then they do have a guy who came back from injured reserve this week, Harrison Phillips, but he has one limited practice under his belt. He is questionable for the game, but I kind of doubt that he will be back, the interior defensive lineman.
So that's the injury report for both teams as we get ready for a 1 o'clock kick between the Vikings and the Falcons. This portion of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show is brought to you by Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster is the official ticket marketplace of the Falcons and the NFL. So, Joe, I mentioned before the break here, before we get to NFL football today, there's going to be a little event, a noon event, that most of the nation is going to be locked in on, at least the sports-watching nation, and that will be the college football, first-ever 12-team college football playoff selection show. Let's talk about, well, first off, before we get into the field here, let's talk about last night a little bit. Let's begin with Georgia.
Yep.
Just touch on three of the games because Arizona State just destroyed Iowa State. Georgia, you know, I don't know what kind of healthy quarterback situation they're going to have. The good news is they have a bye. So they don't have to play again now for another 3 weeks. So that's the good news for Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I frankly don't think Carson Beck is going to be back. When you see that kind of injury, it just does not seem like something he's going to be able to come back from in a week. But we'll see.
Yeah, again, 3 weeks off is going to be very good for them. So that's a plus here. Boy, does it say what it says about Georgia that, you know, we said before the Georgia Tech game, Georgia could be get a bye, which obviously is what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Or they could be out of the playoffs entirely, and to get there to the bye, they had to win two overtime games.
Yeah, and how many overtimes? Like nine or something? I don't know what the total count is at this point, but you got to give it to Georgia. I tweeted it last night. It's like they are just going to keep getting away with this. I mean, they play close games. They don't necessarily look great throughout, but again, we've been talking about with some of these NFL teams, the Vikings, the Chiefs, they just win these close one-score games, and they might not necessarily be one-score games for Georgia, but they just, well, I guess they have been. I mean, they just win these close games. They have as of late, and feels like a team that's got a little bit of momentum going, at least defensively. They look like one of the best teams in the country right now.
And then Clemson and SMU. SMU makes this furious rally. They come back last night in Charlotte from down 14, score twice in the last 5 minutes of the game. They get a touchdown with 16 seconds to go, and everybody, including me, I was like, okay, overtime. Oh, no. No.
Not so fast.
No. 16 seconds. No, overtime. And Clemson hits a 54-yard field goal at the buzzer to win it and vault into the playoffs. Clemson is in the postseason after that start to the season, after losing to South Carolina. Clemson's in.
They're in. And I think the more interesting conversation, and I just want to get your opinion on this, John, is SMU, a team that, honestly, I haven't really been paying a lot of attention to over the course of the year. You know, I feel like the ACC in general has just kind of fallen into a weird spot. But, you know, I think that's the most kind of going to be the biggest controversy of what happens today is where does SMU ultimately fall with a team that obviously had a good record, only has two losses, but didn't play as tough a schedule as some of these other teams like South Carolina or Alabama.
All right, well, let's talk about what we do know. We do know that the four byes are going to Clemson is, you know, the five teams. Again, some people on X who are talking about Clemson's the last team in, they're going to be the number 12 seed. No, that's not how it works, guys, okay? You just have to get used to the rules.
I wish that's how it
moment.
Works, but that's not how it works right now.
It's not how it works. Clemson's in. They're going to be in the field. They could be. They won't. They're not automatically the 12 seed. They'll be seeded wherever. Now they're going to be a fairly low seed as the ACC champion, somewhere in the 10-11 range, but because of the three losses. But they're not going to be the number 12 seed. Okay, I'm just going to tell you that right now. Number 12 seed is going to be Alabama or SMU. So Clemson will be above that. We do know the four teams that are going to be byes. Arizona State played its way into a bye with that thumping of Iowa State yesterday. So you'll have Oregon as the number one seed. Georgia will be the number two seed with three losses. I know, but they'll be the number two seed. Boise will be the number three seed. Arizona State will be the number four seed. I guess it's possible Arizona State could be the three seed and Boise the four. But those are going to be the four teams that get by. Now, after that, it gets a little bit murky. I start to think that Texas might slide into that number five spot ahead of Notre Dame. We'll see here, and then you've got to, you know, who's going to have home games? Is Ohio State going to get a home game? Is Tennessee going to get a home game? How far does Penn State fall? You know, what is all this going to kind of look like? And it's really about the matchups and what we're going to see in that opening game. You know, I think Clemson at Ohio State's a possibility, for example. I think Indiana at Notre Dame is a possibility. It could be Indiana at Texas. We'll see how the committee kind of plays this. To your point, the biggest question is, who gets that final spot? At this point, Miami, and this is my opinion, Joe, Miami is out, OUT, no chance. Okay, they're just gone.
Mm.
I think South Carolina is out. I think Ole Miss is out. It's down to Alabama or SMU. I'm going to guess that Alabama's strength of schedule is going to be the deciding factor. And whether anybody likes it or not, I think Alabama's going to get in.
It's their strength of schedule and not their sizable fan base or, you know, moneyed interests that would want Alabama to be on
well,
the
let's say, okay,
broadcast.
Let me put it to you this way.
Sure.
Let's play, you know, Alabama, whoever the 12 seed is, the 12-5 game is likely, again, when we get to it in 2 weeks, there's a Friday night game at 8 o'clock. Okay, that's the first round game. And then there's a triple header on Saturday, noon, 4, and 8. So if you're starting to kind of map this out, because one of the things that the, you know, the television networks are going to say is that they're going to have a say in kind of like, hey, can you help us out with the matchups here because we want to put the marquee matchups in. If Texas is the 5 seed, I think they're almost guaranteed of playing the Friday night game. Okay? And the reason they're playing the Friday night is 12-5 is now they could slide to the Saturday night game. That's also possible. But they're not the noon and they're not the 4. They're going to put Texas in prime time in one of the two slots. If it's SMU, I think SMU and Texas is the Friday night game. If it's Alabama, that might be the Saturday night 8 p.m. game.
Ooh, that would be a great game.
Because, again, just from a television standpoint, Alabama at Texas or Alabama at Notre Dame is a Saturday night primetime game. See what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, totally, totally. Here's where I'm at, John. And I say this as an Ohio State fan, so I really don't care about, you know, there's obviously a lot of controversy around Alabama in this particular situation because of kind of what I proposed there about, you know, them being this popular team and everything. I want them in. I think that whoever you play Alabama against, it immediately becomes a more interesting, more entertaining, a game that I want to watch a lot more than SMU. Now, I know that there's a lot more that goes into it other than my personal preference of what I find an interesting football game. But, you know, the arguments are marginal between the two of them on the merits, on the regular season schedule. You could say, SMU fans would certainly say, oh, well, we took our second loss in a game because we, you know, got to that point that we earned a championship berth. But still, when you just, like, line them up like resumes, they're, you know, debatable. I think that you can argue that Alabama has an even stronger resume than SMU. But I want Alabama in because I want to see one of those tantalizing first-round matchups that they'll have to play.
Yeah, we're all just guessing here. We'll find out in 2 hours. I'm going to guess that Alabama does get that final spot, and it's 12-5 matchup, either Alabama and Texas, or maybe they leave Notre Dame at 5, and which I think they may be inclined to do. Because to avoid SEC, you know, again, the committee is thinking in terms of not only who's going to be in, but where they're going to be seated. And not only that, but what are the television matchups? Mm-hmm. That's going to play into this.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be a television representative who's been in the ear of all these committee people. And the idea of Alabama, let's try another one. How about 8 o'clock Saturday night, Alabama at Notre Dame in South Bend?
That would be excellent. Again, and again, I will say, That's an incredible game, one I'm, like, you know, prioritizing being in front of, you know, being in front of a TV for and sitting down and watch. If it's Notre Dame SMU, not so much, you know.
No,
I might.
That's not a primetime game either.
Right.
You know, it's just not a primetime game.
Right.
And so, like, for example, Indiana's going to be either, you know, in the Friday night 8 p.m. game or, because the way it stacks, okay. The biggest game is going to be Saturday night in terms of viewership. Saturday night at 8 p.m. is the biggest. Mm-hmm. Then Saturday at 4 is the second biggest. And then you could debate whether Friday night at 8 or Saturday at noon. They're kind of both 6-1, half a dozen the other. So a team like Indiana, for example, if they play, say, at Tennessee, that may be a Friday night game. Or they're going to play, you know, maybe at Texas, and that would be maybe a noon game. On Saturday, but Indiana's not playing in the 4 o'clock game. They're not playing in the 8 o'clock game. It's just a fact of life, whether you like it or not. You know, if it's Clemson, and you know, now that Clemson's got a bye, that's a different story. You know, of course they weren't going to be in anyway if they lost, but now that Clemson's got a bye, you don't have to worry about, you know, where does Clemson fall into all this. But I, again, trying to avoid matchups. I don't know that they can avoid some matchups. I think they want to avoid rematches. Like, I don't think there's any chance they put Ohio State and Penn State together.
I hope not.
I just don't.
Yeah, I hope not.
I think they'll put Tennessee in between them some form or fashion.
Yeah.
Send you know, Ohio State to Tennessee or Tennessee to Ohio State. But I don't think they're going to have an Ohio State-Penn State rematch.
Yeah, I hope so. You don't want to see any of that in any of those conference matchups, as much as you can avoid them as possible.
Yeah, which is tough because I think, again, 8 of the 12 teams are going to be from two leagues.
Yeah, ultimately you're not going to be able to avoid some of these conference matchups deeper in the tournament, but... the best you can set it up to try to prevent that at the get-go, the better.
So that's noon today. We'll keep our eyes on that. That'll be a big talker. But the other big talker, of course, the Falcons. Can they stop their slide against the Minnesota Vikings? What does it take for them to win today? We'll get Joe's thoughts on that as we count down to kickoff between the Falcons and Vikings next on the Wait For It Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Herbert in the gun. Brings Davis toward him from the near side. Wanted to throw it to him. Now resetting. He's sacked. Caden Ellis and Big Grady. You shall not pass.
Falcons defense did what it had to do last week. Offense didn't. Falcons defense far more aggressive. Most aggressive we've seen them since the last time they won a game, which now was a long time ago. And welcome back to the Wait For It Tailgate Show. This portion of the Wait For It Tailgate Show is brought to you by Motlick and Associates. When winning is everything, you call Motlick Injury Attorneys at Pound Win. That's Pound WIN, Pound 946. John Fricke alongside Joe Patrick as we get ready for the Falcons and the Vikings. We mentioned been a long time, Joe, 5 weeks since the Falcons won a game. 5 weeks. And that was the Cowboys game. So to that defense, they dialed it up last week. Did they pay any attention to us talking on the radio or the fans? But certainly I think they can't, they all listen to the show. They all listen to the station. So they can't not hear that what we're talking about our desire to have them be much more aggressive. They were much more aggressive against a Charger offensive line that's a little sketchy anyway. But they were able to impact the game in a way we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just I'm just looking at some of the stats. It's going to be a tough game today, John. This Vikings defense, I'm just looking at some of the numbers. This Vikings defense blitzes more than anybody in the NFL. They get pressures more than just about anybody in the NFL. Well, they have the most quarterback pressures in the NFL. The third most pressures in the NFL. I think they're fourth in pressure rate. It's going to be tough for this defense to get back on track. And, man, it feels like it's been 5 weeks, John. It may even feel longer than that since we've seen this Falcons team put a game together. But who knows? And, hey, I just want to mention, I just retweeted this, but Ian Rappaport just tweeted about the Falcons saying that they are confident Kirk will bounce back this week with no discussions of a quarterback change. So a little bit of a different take on, again, some of those tea leaves we've been reading from the national reporters here over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't see where if the Falcons make any move to Penix, it's only going to be because of injury. Because they, at this point, now that's not to say that they wouldn't move on from Kirk Cousins at the end of the year, but at the very least, even if they get bounced out of the playoffs, they're going to have to showcase Kirk. This is about money. If you're going to move on from Kirk Cousins at the end of this year, you're going to have to want to showcase Kirk and have a team go, boy, you know what? Sort of like the Falcons. We're a quarterback away. You know, we as much as we'd like to have, you know, Shedeur Sanders on this team, we want to win next year, and we don't want to have to necessarily go through the, oh, my God. Because the rookie crapshoot thing is the rookie crapshoot thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you may hit a home run. You may hit, you know, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson. You don't know. I mean, so you don't know what you're getting with a rookie quarterback. And so if we're a quarterback away and we think we can make a, you know, an immediate impact here, then – you know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers and a guy like Kirk Cousins, they may still have some market value, and depending on how much market value he has is how much you're going to be able to maybe soften the blow of him, you know, leaving in terms of the impact, negative impact to your cap. So
yeah,
at this point, I just don't see them playing, unless there's an injury, I don't see them playing Michael Penix this year. I just don't.
I agree. And I would add to that, John, I still think that Kirk Cousins gives them the better chance to win football games right now. You know, it's just, like, I just think he's a better quarterback. And I know that it's hard to say that after he just threw four interceptions, had one of the worst games of his career, and was just not good throughout the entirety of the game. Even some of the completions that he had. The big play to Ray McLeod was almost intercepted. A lot of the passes were inaccurate generally, and people were picking up on that. There's kind of a lot of low passes, you know, thrown behind the receivers. But, you know, ultimately you just got to have faith in that these veteran quarterbacks like Kirk are going to be able to bounce back. And it's something that, you know, I was able to talk to T.J. Yates, the quarterback coach, this week, and you know, he just said that, you know, Kirk, the great thing about him is that he comes in on the Monday after the game, the day after the game, and, you know, is very accountable for the mistakes that he made, is, you know, very self-critical, just analyzes the game exactly how you would want. And then he's able to, you know, move on from that. And it doesn't kind of stick with him. And that has proven to be true throughout his career. So the Falcons have to hope that he can once again put that game last week behind him and come into this one. But again, you know, it's just going to be so tough for him, John, because of what the Vikings do. Again, they blitz 38% of the time. That is the most in the NFL. And Kirk Cousins, against zone blitzes this year, he's averaging 5.7 yards per attempt. That's 29th in the NFL. Has not thrown a touchdown against his own blitz. In fantasy scoring, he's only been the QB1 once outside of the two games against the Buccaneers. Then he also has a 7.1 yards against them. I'm sorry, 7.1 yards per attempt against the blitz overall. That ranks 19th in the NFL. So traditionally, that's been something that Kirk has been good at, is dealing with pressure and play action passing game. But you do wonder if maybe some physical limitations still coming back from that Achilles injury have him not as equipped to deal with a game like he's going to face against this Brian Flores defense today.
This portion of the Wave 4 Tailgate Show is brought to you by Orchard. Sell your home and get paid twice. You can learn how at orchard.com. John Fricke, Joe Patrick with you. You know, and then you add in the factor of him going back to Minnesota. This is a game that was circled at the beginning of the year. It was Kirk's return game. Initially, when the schedule came out, I was really surprised that this was a 1 o'clock start because of the Kirk Cousins factor. Mm. I thought it was candidate for the opening game of the year. Mm. And, you know, certainly an 8:20 game. What's more worthy of a primetime game,
right?
The Monday night game at Las Vegas or this game today?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It should be a bit of a spectacle, though, I think, for the fans. I honestly think for this storyline, it's one of the biggest games in the NFL this week. There's not a real premium game. You know, we went through the matchups, and there's just not some like we've seen in recent weeks where you've got, you know, like a two-loss team playing a one-loss team or something like that. So I think this is one of the more tantalizing matchups. And again, I think the tactics that these teams employ on the field makes it interesting in and of itself. But then when you add in the Kirk Cousins mix, him going back to Minnesota, him going back to play against Kevin O'Connell, and then also, you know, something that plays into this, John, I think, is Kirk Cousins knows the Minnesota personnel and the defense pretty well. He would practice against them in every training camp, and vice versa. You know, Brian Flores will know Kirk Cousins really well, and these Vikings defenders and coaching staff will know exactly what his vulnerabilities are. So I think it's going to be a really interesting chess game between these two teams today.
All right, let's look a little bit at the Minnesota Vikings. I think their offense, you talked about their defense. Let's talk a little bit about their offense. Sam Darnold has had arguably the best year of his career, 23 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Aaron Jones can really run the football, but he does have a propensity for not holding on to the rock. So maybe the Falcons, one of the things they did really well was they started to get after the quarterback. They got to get back to flipping the field and getting some big turnovers of their own.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very much a core key to winning this game for the Falcons is you have to turn over this Vikings offense probably at least twice, I would say. That's kind of like the number I'm putting out there. And you obviously, you have to take care of the ball yourself. You can't have anything close to what happened last week. But and listen, as of late, these last three games, it's been a lot harder to do that against this Vikings team. Like you said, Aaron Jones coughing it up has really been the only source of their turnover problems, where you would have thought coming into the year that Sam Darnold was obviously going to be the number one factor in that. And he's taken care of the ball recently. Having said that, I don't think that it's impossible for this Falcons team to attack Darnold in a different way and force him into some, you know, some bad passes. And we know that this Falcons defense, and especially the secondary, has ball-hawking players who can come away with those big plays, whether it's Jesse Bates, who we know can do that. Justin Simmons is kind of known, obviously, for he has the most interceptions in the NFL since he entered the league. And then Jimmy Lake was talking about A.J. Terrell, just gushing about him this week. And he had just come in to talk to media after practice, Jimmy Lake did, and he just said, man, like, A.J. just had another incredible practice today, and he was kind of doubling down on the fact that he is one of these kind of elite corners that can just lock somebody down. He's gonna get a good test today. We're gonna see if he's locked up with Justin Jefferson for most of the day. Though Kevin O'Connell, again, the brilliance that he has is very good at moving Justin Jefferson around the field and not getting him locked into these matchups against top corners. So again, another interesting wrinkle to see how the Falcons defensively are going to deal with those moving pieces on that Vikings offense and try to neutralize them as much as possible.
And stay away from those, you know, 12-play, 8-minute drives, 15-play, 8-minute drives. You know, this is where, you know, everybody's going to focus in on Justin Jefferson for obvious reasons here. But T.J. Hockenson, you mentioned him earlier here, becomes critical because of those third downs. They have to account for him. They have to put a man on him. They almost have to spy him because that's the thing where you have to, you know, not let him kill you by, you know, continually, you know, moving the chains, which is what his job is.
Yeah, yeah. And you wonder how the Falcons are going to go about doing that with their defense, because this team, this defense, has been a nickel defense, very much so. You know, they are in nickel packages about 80% of the time. They're among the league leaders in that respect. They do not play their base defense hardly at all. But when you're going up against a team that has, you know, a running back like Aaron Jones and a tight end like T.J. Hockenson, and they're going to put some bigger personnel in the field at times, how do the Falcons match up with that? And if they are an 11 personnel, who is, you know, essentially who is responsible for Hockenson and who's responsible for Jones? I think that Troy Anderson coming back into the team as he has as of late, he hasn't had like a real fully starting role, but he has been, you know, a weapon that they're using on some passing downs. He will play a big role, but I'm not sure who they would put him on. I tend to think that they would stick him with like more of the running back responsibility, which they typically have as a middle linebacker. And for that reason, I'm curious to see how they'll deal with Hockenson, because you're totally right. He is going to be a huge threat on third downs, and he could be one of those very, very annoying players that you see on your television today, because he's just going to keep catching the ball, keep converting, moving the chains.
Yeah, tight ends have killed the Falcons over the years, and here's another good one who's, he's not an explosive necessarily player, but he's a red zone, big red zone target, and he's a move the chains target, and he does it very well. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show with John and Joe on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So let's talk about the beginning of the game here. With a team that's got a low level of confidence, Joe, how important is quarter number one? Not that they have to do much of anything, but just maybe stalemate them, but to at least stalemate them, if not try and win the first quarter so that they can, you know, take a breath at the end of the quarter and go, okay, all right, let's go.
Yeah, no, I think just like game state in general is going to be huge in this game, because I think it's one thing that can really mess with Kirk Cousins is when this team gets behind, like they have at certain points this season, he really tries to force the issue. He tries to make something happen. And sometimes you can't necessarily fault him for doing that. It might be the right strategic move, but obviously when you try those things, there's a high risk that, you know, things are going to go terribly wrong. And I'm thinking about that Seattle game, for example, where the team was down by, I think, 10 or so, or maybe it was even 7 points. But, you know, Kirk tries to get out of the pocket and make something happen. And he fumbles, and then the game just ends up unraveling very quickly. So I think if you can keep this game close, at least, you know, it gives you that feeling that you don't have to panic, that you can get back into it. But, yeah, that's going to be very, very important for this team. And I'll be interested to see even what they do if they, you know, if they win the toss. I'd be even wondering if they just, like, go ahead and take the ball like they did against the Chargers last week, which is a little surprising coming off the bye. But, hey, maybe we want to get something going early.
It'll be an interesting game today, that's for sure. The 10-2 Minnesota Vikings against the 6-6 Atlanta Falcons. And again, the Falcons, of course, struggling, haven't won in 5 weeks since they beat the Dallas Cowboys. Desperately needing a win, having to go on the road to a 10-win team in Minnesota. And these two teams have had an interesting history over the course of time, haven't they?
Yeah,
really they big have. Moments in Falcons history have happened against the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, really interesting. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show as we continue marching towards the 1 o'clock kick today in Minneapolis on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's break it!
More. Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John and Joe counting down to kickoff in Minnesota today. Falcons and Vikings. Every game is critical. We're going to be doing some scoreboard watching today. Falcons 6-6. The Bucks are 6-6. Bucks are at home today against the Raiders. And, of course, the Falcons will be in Las Vegas for a Monday night affair in a week against the Raiders. It may be too much to hope for, I think, all of us, that the Raiders are going to beat the Bucks. The Raiders are 2-10, and they're falling apart. And they are thinking about the number one pick is where they're kind of at with that franchise. And so it's not necessarily bad news for the Falcons in that regard, because if the Raiders are just, you know, kind of tossing in the towel here, then, you know, they'll lose to the Bucs today, they'll lose to the Falcons next week. And it'll be up to the Falcons to try to keep pace with the Bucs, which is not going to be easy. But aside from anything that the Tampa is going to do, okay, aside from anything, Joe, Tampa is going to do, this is really about the Falcons. It's only about, can they find the whatever sauce is they had at the middle of the year offensively? Can they keep up the pressure defensively? Can they actually execute and end up, you know, winning? You know, at 6-6, they're going to have to go 10-7. If they get to 10-7, you know, which is 4-1 in their last five games, I know it's a heavy lift, but if they get to 10-7, I'll take my chances.
Yeah, if they get to 10-7, they're probably making the playoffs. They're probably winning the division. But even if not, that puts them still in a, actually, you know, we hadn't thought about the wild card in a while. But if you're at 10-7, that puts you right in contention for the wild card. So, yeah, that's probably what they're shooting for. I mean, heck, they're probably shooting for 11-6 still at this point. But you're right. In terms of the scoreboard watching and the Bucks and what they've got going on, none of that really matters unless you get your stuff together as a Falcon. And, you know, that's what I think everybody's looking for today. Even I hate to say even if it's not a win, because the winning is what matters. That's why they are playing the game. But certainly I think it would give at least a little bit more inspiration to the fan base and just confidence to everybody if they can come out and, you know, even if they do lose, if it just looks better, if it looks like more cohesive and you score points and – you know, the game may just go against you in one way or another. That can happen. But, you know, this team needs to look better than they have really the last 3 weeks, especially.
Yeah, there's some of that. Boy, Joe, I think they got to win. I mean, they haven't won in 5 weeks. And if you don't win, and the Tampa Bay does because they've got the Raiders, now you're suddenly – all the tiebreakers don't mean anything. You are in second place, and you are under 500, and you are in a position where, frankly, you'd have to win your last four. And that's – you know, I know you're playing the Giants. I know you're playing the, you know, the Swamper. I mean, the Panthers. I mean, it's not the Raiders. I mean, there's some wins in there, but suddenly the Commanders game becomes a must-win. But now you have to win four in a row.
Yeah.
So – I think that today is kind of critical.
Is it must win?
It's less about style points. It's just more about you got to find a way to win the game.
Is it must win? I stopped short of saying it's must win because it's technically not. You know, it's technically not must win. But
right.
I'm with you that, like, you have to stop this slide that you're on. And but it's just not going to be easy. So maybe it's just a matter of me trying not to get my hopes up too much, because again, the odds are stacked against the Falcons in this game. Like, the betting markets have the Falcons at what, like 5.5 point underdogs the last time I saw, but that's pretty big for an NFL spread. So, you know, clearly, you know, again, the betting markets think one way about this, and it's up to the Falcons to get things done where, you know, the rest of the country basically doesn't think they can do it.
Yeah, there have been some things on the social media that, you know, I try my best not to get too deep into the weeds with so many things with some fans who say things like, you know, for example, bench Kirk Cousins. It's like, again, having to walk you through a short of injury, you don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. Why do you not want it to happen? Because it's his trade value, folks. You know, you want him to have success here. Frankly, at this point, I think that if the Falcons were to go on a run and go 4-1, and let's say they did make the playoffs and then they bowed out, you know, in the first round of the playoffs, I think the Falcons would explore trading Kirk Cousins at the end of the year. I think they would listen to offers.
Definitely.
If it would cover a lot of it. If they're comfortable with going ahead with Michael Penix, and you want that to be, that would be kind of a really good scenario for you, as opposed to Kirk Cousins having no value and nobody's calling you going, yeah, I don't think he ever came back from that Achilles. He's too old. Yeah, we're not interested. Now you're stuck with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it puts you, and having both those quarterbacks come back in essentially the situation they're in now, where there's not confidence in the fan base in Kirk Cousins, who knows what the confidence from the coaching staff is in him. Again, this is looking forward, but going into next year, that's just not something a team wants to deal with. Going through training camp and having this kind of dynamic between the young second-year quarterback who hasn't played yet, who was a top 10 draft pick, versus, you know, the grizzled veteran trying to hang on to a starting role with the team. That's just not a good situation. So we always said when Kirk Cousins was signed, the way he was going to be able to extend his, you know, his tenure in Atlanta, obviously, was to play at a near MVP level. That's basically the level that he needed to play at to basically extend beyond 2 years. The way that it's tracking now, that timeline is pushed way up, where it could be 1 year. And listen, the Falcons are going to make the best moves that they have, that they can, for the betterment of the team and their ability to win games. So it's turning into a bit of a cluster. We'll put it that way.
Well, this is why today is so important. And does he react to going back to Minnesota, to an environment that he's very comfortable in, very familiar with? He played, obviously, in that stadium for a long time. And against a team where he practiced against him. So he's going to look up across the line and go, hey, 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 go, oh, hey, 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 you know? And he knows where to attack them. And, of course, they, again, as you said, the converse is true, too. They know how to attack him. But his comfort, he should have a really good comfort level today in that game against the Vikings because of the fact that he's there. So we'll see. Yeah, yep. I think today's game is on Kirk Cousins' shoulders.
Mm.
Maybe more so than any other game they've played this season, just because of all those factors. This is why you signed him. You got to win a game. You got to win a game on the road. You got to win an important game. You got to win a game against a team in an environment that you're pretty familiar with. I mean, these are the reasons that Kirk Cousins is here.
Yep. Yep.
So let's see what he does.
Yep.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show, also brought to you by the W Sauce, official sauce of the tailgate. Bigger, better, bolder. Visit the WSauce.com today. Find a retailer near you. We'll take a look ahead to the game here in a moment as we count you down to the network coverage at 11 o'clock. Pre-game show with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson around the corner on your home of the Falcons Sports Radio 92 on the game.
The pre-party for our Falcons.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, counting down to the network coverage at the top of the hour. Chris and Mike with the pregame show. Wes and Dave on the call of the game. 1 o'clock kick today. Rob Tribble with a flyover immediately after the game. Our look ahead to the game is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this football season at mancavestore.com. Couple of minutes left for Joe and I to look ahead to this game. Joe, I got to say, as I opened the show, I said, today's game is critical. The Falcons haven't won a game in 5 weeks. What was a 3-game lead in the South is now a fist fight to try and win the division. And a big football day for Atlanta. Easy to say that every game is now critical, and I don't know any other way to put it. It's critical on two fronts, not only from a scheduling and standing standpoint when you're in a tie with the Buccaneers, but also from just a confidence standpoint. Mm-hmm. This team has lacked that. I don't know what happened. Suddenly. Flying high, go into the swamp, and the bottom falls out, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, I don't know exactly why either, but I will say that, listen, the NFL, it's a week-to-week league, and maybe nobody in their career represents that more than Kirk Cousins, the way that he's had terrible games followed by good games. And, we see it happen for the Falcons and the opponents that they're going up against. That you think you have a relatively easy game. It's not. They beat teams that you think are very good. And so who knows what's going to happen in this one. It's unpredictable. Having said that, it's going to be a tough game for the Falcons. They're going to have to play as well as they've played since Tampa, probably to win, to give themselves a chance to win this game. So let's hope they can get back to that.
Right. They're going to have to, and again, just a matter of trying to win here, because, you know, the pressure that now exists, I don't want to have been in those meetings, because the pressure that exists on everybody in the organization from Terry Fontenot on down is pretty enormous here.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were to, you know, knock on some, some wood here in my office, that if you go from 6-3 with essentially a 3-game lead with 7 games to go and don't win the division, that's going to be exit interview is going to be an exit interview for
somebody. Yeah, I mean, well, it was last year when this team went through a similar slide at this point in the season. So, the one way you prevent those conversations from happening is to turn this thing around. And it starts this week, like you said, such an important game, especially for the momentum of this team going forward.
Yeah, so you have any insight, Joe, in the last 30 seconds here? If you give a wow, do you think the Falcons – let me just ask you, Brad, do you think the Falcons play well?
I don't know. It's so much of it hinges on Kirk Cousins and whether he plays well. And I think that if Kirk Cousins if he throws one or fewer interceptions, I think the Falcons at least have this as a one-score game and could very potentially win. But if he throws two or more interceptions, I don't think they have a chance.
All right, Falcons and Vikings today. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Noel. We take you to the network coverage of the pregame show as we get ready for a 1 o'clock kick right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.